Here at Montclair State University, our networks open doors, and you can see how at the Graduate School Open House on Sunday, February 28th from noon to 3 p.m. Choose from over 100 highly regarded programs and meet one-on-one with our award-winning faculty. RSVP at montclair.edu/graduate. That's montclair.edu/graduate. Montclair State University. It's all here.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tolter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Tolter, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm always excited to welcome the program, author Rob Roselli. Rob, thanks for calling. And you know what? Now we got some interesting things happening. I know we'll only talk a little bit, but I mean, unbelievable week, wouldn't you say, in the political world of just chaos and craziness?
Well, I think it goes beyond the political world. I think the world, period, is going into chaos and craziness. I don't even know where to begin anymore with this stuff, but again, we've talked about this and we've looked into this, you know. A lot of this is by design. The chaos that's going on is, in fact, in honor of the ancient god of chaos known as Pan. Okay, where we get our word pandemonium, you know, the concept being initiate the chaos, economic, political, social, out of that fire. Okay, the so-called phoenix will rise out of the ashes. Okay, that's really what's at stake here.
Well, I mean, really, Rob, I mean, think about it. I mean, just in general, we have a chance of an election between two one socialist versus one entrepreneur billionaire. That would be just absolutely the most ridiculous election on the face of this earth, because both people would destroy this country in some sort of way. And literally, Rob, you're not seeing anything of God in either of those candidates. And that's one thing you talked about, is specifically enough that God's prophecy is for these things to happen. You talked about it on the first couple shows.
Well, sure. I mean, sure, I mean, it's said a lot there, but that's basically what it all boils down to. I mean, that's the context of my whole site. And again, that site is boxofsunglasses.com. That's one word. But as far as these so-called candidates go, they're a joke. The only one that's near serious is, of course, Donald Trump. The other was just a collection of misfits, losers, morons, and other assorted jerk-offs. You got this Ted Cruz running around like a dime store evangelist, you know, out there in Iowa, claiming, you know, it just sounds terrible. It just sounds terrible. And I'm not against, obviously. I mean, our entire founders, overwhelming majority were devout Christians in some fashion. So if anyone of them was obviously on there saying it, they would have credibility, because those guys lived the life and walked the walk. But to have some Goldman Sachs political hack like Ted Cruz get out there and start quoting and you know, saying that he's, you know, praise Jesus and all this other kind of stuff out there in Iowa, it's a joke. It is. And of course, on the other side, you have this Hillary Clinton, okay, the Margaret Sanger Award winner. Okay, Margaret Sanger, the American eugenicist, the devout racist. What, I mean, the real meaning of the word racist, it's been diluted with all the stupidity we have nowadays. Not just being white makes you a racist. But anyway, Margaret Sanger, the eugenicist, okay, the white establishment elitist who gave us the American Birth Control League and a lot of inspiration to one Adolf Hitler. Okay, you know, we got Hillary Clinton, the Margaret Sanger Award winner, versus the dunce, just the around this block of cement, Bernie Sanders. I mean, what a stupid guy. We talked about him last week.
Right, right.
I like to call him the dunce cap of America. Bernie Sanders, out there. Everything's for free, and these college kids who are stupid enough to buy into his line of crap. I mean, just think about that for a second. I mean, forget the math. Forget the basic math that's at play here. Giving everyone free college. I mean, the mathematical possibility. I mean, forget that. That's too complicated. It's just thinking about the common sense aspect of it. So, Uncle Bernie, if you're going to give free college, I mean, why not throw in free college for a couple hundred grand all of a sudden?
Where you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this abject stupidity of Bernie Sanders. As much of a conspiracy kook as I am, and as much as I am in tune with what's going on, it's really just almost depressing how gullible and malleable and stupid Americans are. These are the college kids, the so-called most intelligent. And the educated ones, remember they told us you have to go to college and that was your ticket to success. But is this really, really?
College kids?
I mean, you listen to me, you listen to a guy, an old broken down old cement head, a complete blockhead, the dunce cap of America, Bernie Sanders, he promises you free college and you fall for it, lock, stock, and barrel. It is genuinely depressing. Of course, this is the college level kids. A lot of them are the ones that gave us this multi-named, multi-birthplace con man. This serpent, this carpetbagger known as Barack Hussein Obama or so Barker, whatever this guy's name is in the White House. This other so. Actually, the way things are going, I don't even think we're going to make it to the next presidential election anyway, so it's probably all academic. As far as that goes.
So basically, just to recap for our listeners, you talked about the biblical interpretations of Revelation and then specific things from your book going into the Georgia Guidestones. Going into specific power groups that are there to destroy the country. One thing I agree with Marco Rubio is that President Obama is no stupid guy. He is literally doing this because he wants the country to change systematically. And that's why the Democratic Party, they want the country to change. And for other Republicans to go up out on stage and tell something that he's just incompetent is wrong. He has an idea, an ideology of what he wants the country to be, is Europe.
If it's good for the country, or if it's part of traditional America as a traditional foundation or the fabric of this once great nation, and I'm not talking about these freaks and this freak show that this country is today. I'm talking about the real America, the Norman Rockwell America. If it had anything to do with that, then of course, the Ivy League, the Ivy League con man, the self-aggrandizing elitist hates it to the core because he hates everything American. And there's a lot of parallels to this scam artist and to many of the evil kings of ancient Israel and Judah in the Old Testament. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 8, God warned Samuel what would happen when the ancient Israelites elected themselves a king. Okay, when Israel was still a nation before it split to Israel and Judah, what would happen? And essentially, I believe there's many parallels to that concept, to the election of this serpent in the White House. We've essentially elected a king, a man who talks a big game, who has no respect and an actual abject hatred like I said, of our institutions, and of course, one of our major foundations and the foundation of our governmental institutions is the Constitution, or it's supposed to be. As you said, the hatred of that whole document is none other than the Ivy League con man in the White House. And we got into this, as you say, a lot of past shows. And, you know, and if you go on my site, a lot of these shows, and a brief one-liner summary of the subject matter, most of the subject matter, all the old shows are archived on my site, again, at thoughtsofsunglasses.com. And if you click through and go into the table of contents, you'll see the archived radio shows. And we talked about it all in the past, including the United States and biblical prophecy. And I have no doubt, we went through this, that the United States is the mystery Babylon discussed in Revelation 17 and 18. And we're seeing that being played out. I mean, let's get off this presidential.
Yes. Definitely we were going more to where you were going. I was just showing some of the things that you predicted have happened. That's all.
Yeah. Well, what are happening as we speak? Okay. And let me just look at this concept. And I threw out some tweets this week. I mean, we look at Fox News. Okay. Fox News, the Rupert Murdoch, the corporate owned establishment hacks the Saudi-owned, the New York Compost, okay, that garbage, so-called conservative newspaper, the New York Post, that gossip rag, okay, you get the whole News Corp organization, which if people haven't figured out by now, I cannot stand. The other networks, I mean, our communist CNN and Circus NBC and the other Viacom, all the other CBS and Disney, all the other corporate-owned media, of course I can't stand it. That goes without saying. But with Fox, I hold a special disdain for because of its so-called conservatism, so-called. And to me, it's really deceptive. I mean, when you turn on CNN, you turn basically on Pravda. I mean, you already know they're supposed to be so-called liberal, but Fox passes it off, pisses itself off. Some kind of conservative organization, and it's really not. Okay, it really isn't. They put Donald Trump on, and they'll have an anti-Hillary story, but they never tell you the truth. I mean, this morning, for instance, they spend the majority or a large portion of their show on talking about Super Bowl ads, and that's your economic news, not the cratering Baltic Dry Index. Okay, which is basically a symbol, okay, for the world shipping. Okay, and I don't know a lot about it, and it's not something I paid attention to in years past. But you start reading the alternative news sites, and you start learning these things. But basically, the Baltic Dry Index is cratering, and the upshot is that world trade has come to a complete standstill. But you'd never know that watching the American so-called media and this presidential reality show. These idiots get on there. Bernie Sanders, okay, you know, economy, and Bernie Sanders is going to give away everything for free. It's just
didn't history tell that McGovern did this too, Rob? McGovern did the same thing and got creamed because
George
of
McGovern?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a different era. Even going back 40 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I have no idea. So, okay. Forget it.
Like, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 43, so.
I don't know how old you are. All right. Oh, whatever. So, I'm 46. And by the way, today's date is February 8th. Right? Do I have that right? February,
yes, you're correct.
2015, in case people are listening, so. But anyway, I could barely remember the early 70s, but, things were changing, but it was a different era, okay? The United States still had a large, the traditions of the United States, for the most part, were still in place, although the termites, and we talked about this last week, we'll get back to that in a second, the termites from the Ford Foundation and the Federal Reserve Tax Exempt Foundation, useful idiots, okay, these groups, these liberal Ivy League groups funded by these same Federal Reserve criminals were busy at work like termites at the colleges and spreading their progressive and liberal death and filth and sewage in the education system, which has resulted in these dumbed-down idiots that support Bernie Sanders. Okay, they weren't here 40 years ago in the early 70s when a guy like George McGovern was running for president. I mean, people were still smart enough to realize what a doofus the guy really was. And he was soundly, you know, rejected. And of course, Jimmy Carter came in, you know, a trilateral commission pick. Jimmy Carter came in the late 70s, and he was just a putz. I mean, obviously, he was a set-up guy, but the American voters were still intelligent enough to bring in a guy that at least talked the right game, was Ronald Reagan. I don't want to get into the whole thing on, you know, on presidents, but, you know, the point is the American population was still educated enough and had not been dumbed down to the point where they buy into a guy like Bernie Sanders or a significant portion of us. So that's what happened then. But now it's a different era. I mean, we are like a snowball or a dam break. It's been a precipitous, it is now a precipitous decline. So, you know, you had cracks in the dam. Things were leaking through. The stupidity, the sewage was leaking through. Okay, now it's just the whole dam break. Now the whole dam's coming down. It's just a flood of just chaos, as I've been saying. That's overtaking the United States. And meanwhile, you got to sit here and listen to the mimbos and the bimbos on Fox News talk a bunch of crap and feed us a bunch of lies and all sort of nonsense. And I don't even know where to begin on that, but that's just basically where we are as a nation. And again, and we talked about this last week, and a lot of it is by design. And I wanted to say something, and we can segue into another conversation here. But we talked about Plato, okay? Now, Plato is the so-called great Greek philosopher, okay? And he was a communist before there was communism. I remember the arrogance and the you know, everybody thinks what a great philosopher he was, and I don't think so. I think he was just, you know, he was Karl Marx and Lenin and all these other people, and you know, any American Ivy League intellectual elite, he was just them, some 2,500 years ago. That's all this guy was. Okay, maybe he didn't advocate violent revolution like, you know, Obama's buddy William Ayers and Saul Alinsky. Okay, Saul Alinsky dedicates his book Rules for Radicals to Lucifer. Okay, so you know where he's coming from. You know, again, that's Barack Obama or Sotero or Barry Sotero, whatever this guy's name is. But anyway, when you look at that, okay, what does he have to do with all this? Well, he has everything to do with it because, you know, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes 1:9, okay, you know, basically it says there's nothing new under the sun. So basically what it's saying is mankind is based on vanity, jealousy, covetousness, okay? Remember the, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, okay? But that is the very premise of a guy like Bernie Sanders. That's really how communism or statism or socialism or whatever you want to call it, that's how it gains traction. You convince enough people that somebody, life isn't fair and somebody needs to pay, literally and figuratively, and the so-called rich need to pay. But of course, as we discussed last week, it's a logical train wreck. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, communism or statism or fascism, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, break down the nuances or the differences between communism and, you know, socialism. You know, communism is just a violent socialist, fascism is the marriage of, you know, state and corporate powers. I mean, corporatism, I mean, basically what we have here now in the United States to a large extent, a lot of these private so-called private companies that are owned by the government, vice versa. If you look at the Federal Reserve System, it's a privately owned entity. We don't know exactly who owns it. There's some suspicion, you know, but anyway, that's exactly what those terms are referred to. I'm not going to sit there, and I think it's almost moot to discuss the differences. The point is that it's a system of man versus a system of God, as was specified, as was put in place by the foundation and the founders of this country, who gave us the greatest political system in the history of the world. And even William Bradford, one of the early leaders, one of the early Puritan leaders of this country back in the 1600s, I think he was the original governor of Massachusetts. But anyway, even he tried an experiment in socialism, and people may have heard about this, and they may have learned about this in school, and they still taught things at school. But anyway, the Puritans, you know, devout Christians, you know, people remember the Puritans that landed up there at Plymouth Rock. Okay, they were persecuted over in Europe. They came over. They followed the Pilgrims who had gotten things started, and they ended up, you know, founding many of the Northeastern states. But anyway, William Bradford, he tried Puritan, or tried a form of socialism or collectivism, where everybody, you know, was assigned a plot of land, and they would grow and their crops, and they would contribute whatever they came off their land to a central. It was a very small scale operation, obviously, but, you know, we contribute all their crops to a central location, and then the framework of the government at the time would distribute the crops accordingly. It was just to the point that it was an early form of socialism, and people were starving to death. And William Bradford came out and wrote this in one of his memoirs, just saying the arrogancy of the concept of socialism, the arrogancy, and he called Plato out by name. He said, basically, this is BS, is what he said in a nutshell. He said, you can't, you know, people just aren't motivated to work. And obviously, it came off that, and he gave the side people plots of land, and, you know, people hadn't sent them to work the land, and they were devout Christians, so they still helped each other out, but they had incentive work because they owned the land, and they took care of it because it was privately owned, and all that sort of thing. So he had motivation to work. At the same time, your Christian foundation, you were still, you know, James, reading the book of James, faith without works is like the, it's like a body without spirit, it's dead. Okay, but anyway, with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. When you do alms or you do charitable works, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. In other words, I talked about Matthew chapter 19 and the rich man. Jesus said, told the rich man, honor your father and mother, do not bear false witness, et cetera, et cetera. And the rich man says, all these things I do, what else do I lack? And Jesus says to him, sell everything you own and follow me. And the rich man walked away very sad, okay, because he was rich and he didn't want to give up his wealth. And we discussed this. Okay, now Jesus, this is another thing I love, and I promise you, we'll try and tie all these things together as the show goes on like we usually do. But anyway, Jesus says to him, and Jesus lets him go. And this is that whole famous parable that people may have heard about, it's easier for a rich man or a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but Jesus just let him go, okay, because compassion has to be voluntary. Okay, he didn't chase him down and audit his bank account and garnish his wages like happens today. In Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton's idea of compassion, where it's a mandatory compassion, which makes no sense. It's compassion at gunpoint, okay, which is an inherent contradiction. These left-wing, these social gospel idiots, okay, they want to invoke God and say it's Christian because where, you know, we're distributing wealth. It's so stupid. Again, it's so stupid, ignorant. I can't even believe I need to explain it or respond to it, but, you know, the concept of holding a gun to somebody's head or threatening to garnish their wages or seize their bank accounts so they can give it away to someone else and calling that compassion, to me, is just, it is blasphemy to the nth degree, okay? But there's enough, you know, these liberal Catholic Church, okay, these social gospel idiots, okay, that buy into this crap. You know, Jesus believed in the redistribution of wealth. Yeah, he did, but not at gunpoint, morons, okay? Not at gunpoint of communism, which is, you know, by the way, which is inherently atheist, by the way, because it needs to be, because the state becomes God, and the state becomes God, and you know, we'll need a real God. But anyway, this is really the root of what's going on here, okay? So everything that we're seeing, okay, like the massive debt, the social breakdown, the societal breakdown, the insanity, all this other nonsense that's going on is allowed to fester and grow and perpetuate because the God of the Bible has been taken out of our society, has been taken out of our school system and replaced with some kind of Darwinist, eugenicist, and in terms of abortion, the radical homosexual movement, and every other left-wing movement has been allowed to kind of permeate society to the point where we are now on the verge of societal-wide breakdown, okay? And a lot of this, obviously, is going to be, the major breakdown is going to be a breakdown of our economy, okay? The debt-based economy. It is Federal Reserve fueled, the debt funded prosperity.
Right.
So called, and I say prosperity in quotes, that we've been enjoying or kind of enjoying all these years. You know, the bill is coming due, the chickens are coming home to roost, whatever you want to call it, okay? It is happening. And remember, we talked about this last week, okay? We said, what we discussed was Proverbs 22:7, the debtor is slave to the lender. And I put that verse, and I do this in section 2 of my first book, by the way, called They Live, Great Society of the Undead. And I put the word great in quotes, and then put that aside for now, the word great. We'll get back to that in a second. But anyway, in section 2 of my first book, which is available on my site, and that one you can download for free. There's a suggested donation on there, but you can get it if you click through and the links are there. But anyway, in the Federal Reserve section of that book, I make the basic point that you can take the millions and millions of hours and the tens of thousands of economists and Harvard MBAs and all these other circus NBC jerk-offs, all these other experts, the Paul Krugmans of the New York Slimes, and Fabian socialist maniac Paul Krugman, the Bernie Sanders school, in other words, these idiots, okay, even the Fox News people, okay, you can take them all and put them on one side, and they can debate and talk about the economy and us and that and numbers and all this other nonsense versus the debtor is slave to the lender, okay? And you know which side of the equation I'm going to pick, okay? But just forgetting all that, look at this objectively. Where are we as a nation? All that nonsense. So basically what I'm saying with our economy is a setup.
Right.
Okay? Let me say that again. The economy is a setup. Okay, I know it's hard for people to believe and that could never happen. And, you know, what a kook and conspiracy. But just look at what's happening. We are on the verge of an economic collapse, of chaos, okay, of biblical proportions because a bunch of evil, satanic bankers known as the Federal Reserve System convinced the progressive scumbag, Woodrow Wilson, and we talked about Woodrow Wilson at length, okay, the racist Woodrow Wilson, the liar who got us involved in World War I, which was a pointless war, to begin with, in which the United States had no business getting involved in, okay? But the banker, the Federal, the guy who gave us, who signed the Federal Reserve System into law, okay, who showed the film called Birth of a Nation at the White House. And if people really want to see the white progressive, the white liberal elite establishment, the Darwinist, Margaret Sanger, Negro Project, white liberal elite. Okay, if you really want to see what a bunch of hypocrites they are, Google a movie called Birth of a Nation, okay, and the progressive hero Woodrow Wilson showed this movie in the White House. Okay, just as an aside, just to see what a bunch of crap this all really is. But anyway, he gave us this Federal Reserve, this debt-based Federal Reserve system, okay, and these tax-exempt foundations, the same people that gave us the system, okay, again, we talked about this before, you can see all this stuff tying together, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, funded, started a lot of the University of Chicago, Harvard, the Columbia Teachers College, okay, all these so-called radicals. Today, the best example of what I'm talking about is George Soros, okay, the old money, white, establishment money man, showering all these useful idiots, these left-wing useful idiots who go out there and protest against capitalism and whatever, and also the nonsense, and yet they get their very lifeblood comes from these satanic, evil, white capitalists in the past, and still to this day. It was the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgans, and the modern day George Soros exemplifies this like none other in the 21st century. These idiots, okay, these Bernie Sanders supporting idiots, okay, taking their money from these guys is really what's going on here, okay? This is why Lenin, the original Soviet, the Marxist, the follower of Marx, okay, the leader of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, Vladimir Lenin, called American liberals and progressive useful idiots, okay, and it's for that very reason. You know, he looked across the pond at the United States. He looked at the Woodrow Wilson, American progressives, and he called these people useful idiots. They were useful in the sense that they were going to bring about the communist revolution in the United States. They were going to overtake and take down what was the greatest nation in the history of the world. So they were useful to Lenin's communist cause, okay, the godless atheism of communism, okay, the Darwinist-founded communism. So Darwinism not only gave us the Nazis, it also gave us communism, okay, in a nutshell, because, it took the God out of the equation and replaced it with the God of the state, which is exactly what you'd need for communism. But anyway,
exactly.
That was the useful part. And the idiot, of course, the idiot part of the equation, of course, we've been talking about it for the past half an hour. Hey, it's these American college kids, liberals. That's the idiot half of the useful idiot equation. And it's just where we are as a nation. But the ruse, what has been funding this ruse, is this debt-based system known as the Federal Reserve System. In other words, we never would have gotten away with this. They never would have gotten away with the system if we had a disciplined economy, okay, where Congress did not shirk its responsibility as the arbiter of the economy, okay, Article 1, Section 8, okay, specifies that Congress sets, weights and measures and basically sets the worth of money, okay? They basically rejected that responsibility, okay? They abdicated their responsibility and gave it over to this private Federal Reserve System. So in other words, now these scumbag politicians, okay, these slick politicians, can get on there and they can buy people's votes with benefits, welfare, food stamps, whatever you want to call it. Okay, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, there's that word great again, by the way. I mentioned that before, but anyway, they can fund all this stuff. they had gotten away with it, not because of a disciplined economy. Like I said, they never would have gotten away with it, but they've gotten away with it because the Federal Reserve System has allowed them to borrow money. Yes, those fiat dollars you're carrying in your wallet are nothing but an instrument of debt. I know it's a hard concept to believe, but anyway, I don't know if we have time to get into that right now, but basically...
Right.
This is what has fueled or has served as the fuel of the so-called United States economy for the past 100 years. Whatever we are going to find out in the not-too-distant future, it really wasn't a fuel at all. It was really what's known as a sugar high, the economic equivalent of a sugar high or a heroin or a speed trip, whatever you want to call it. Okay, and we're going to come crashing down. As you come off the sugar, I went crashing down hard. And that's really, it oversimplifies things a bit, but conceptually, that's way to describe it in the condensed time that we had together, is that this economy, this United States economy, this debt-fueled economy is nothing but an economic sugar high. And we've been enjoying the high part of it. Now we have to deal with the crash of this sugar high that we've been living for the past 100 years. And that's just where we are as a nation right now.
It's something, Rob, that just is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what's happening. And you're able to bring this platform again at boxofsunglasses.com. You're able to bring this information out for people so that they can be informed and not be shocked by what is being manipulated right in front of them, right?
Well, basically, yeah. It's going to be shocking no matter what happens, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I live a good life, and I understand that, but ultimately, I know I'm stuck in the matrix like everybody else. You know, as much as I know and as much as I understand, and hopefully people are beginning to understand, it's still going to be shocking. Okay, when you wake up one day and the government, declares a bank holiday in this country, and basically what a bank holiday is, it sounds to what it is, basically the thing, the government shuts down the banking system to prevent what's called a run on banks, which is literally, when it boils down to it, literally people running to the bank to get their money out before the banks close down, and then they can't get their money out at all. You know, as happened during the Great Depression in this country. But the point is, it's still going to be shocking. Okay? There's no way to deny that. And yeah, let me just say this, and I've said this in the past, and I need to emphasize this more, but really, people need to just get right with God. And the God of the Bible, okay, and not the fake God of whatever the New Age is bringing us, okay. And on my site, I have this link called God's Simple Salvation Plan, and it really is simple, okay, in terms of what you need to do, and it's all in there in that link, okay. You don't have to get involved in any organized religion. You don't have to go to confession. You don't have to confess the rosary like the Catholic Church tells you you need to do. There's no purgatory. There's no stupidity like that. It's a very simple salvation plan. And that's what people really need. Keep your eyes on the ball in the big picture, because what is coming is going to be very traumatic and shocking.
Yes,
for all of us. And remember, a lot of this is by design, okay? So people may be asking, well, why the hell would these bankers, these powerful bankers that I mentioned before, your Rockefeller family and all these others, why would they give us a system that they knew was going to fail? Well, again, that's my point exactly. Is they these people are not that stupid, okay? They knew it was going to fail, but this is how they're going to get their order out of their chaos. Okay, remember the symbol of the phoenix rising from the ashes, okay? Now, let me just explain that, okay? These guys, and on my site, again, there's a link called Bohemian Grove. Okay, if you go to the Mystery Babylon link, the Mystery Babylon USA link, you can find it there. But anyway, when you get to the top of the pyramid, okay, which sounds familiar, remember we've talked at length about the Egyptian pyramid. and here you go, and try and tie some of the stuff together that we've been talking about. But anyway, we peel away all the layers of crap, okay, and all the nonsense, and you get right down to it. What these bankers are trying to do, the symbolism of the phoenix rising from the ashes. Now, the ashes are the result of the fire of chaos, okay? The chaos is represented by a societal breakdown that is by design, that they are going to bring, they're going to usher in this chaos. In other words, okay, the world is going to destroy each other. We're all going to kill each other on a worldwide scale. And then they will rise out of the ashes to enjoy their new age, okay? I know it's a lot to digest. It's a lot. Some people may be tuning off right now, and that's fine. You know, people just think this is ridiculous. And, you know, I bid you farewell and go watch your Fox News and, you know, listen to Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly just lie to you night after night. I can't help you out. But for everybody that's still listening, I'm telling you what's really going on, okay? This didn't come about with Barack Obama. Okay, also Obama is the image of the beast. Okay, he's the image of the beast. I'll just leave it at that right now. I don't want to go off on that tangent right now. He's just the manifestation or the culmination of the quote conspiracy that's been going on in this country for the past 100 years, and really reaches back to the Garden of Eden, okay, and the symbolism again is on the back of your Federal Reserve notes, okay, on that pyramid with the all-seeing eye. Remember, we've talked about the all-seeing eye, okay, is representative of the open eye or the eye of illumination or the Illuminati, and it really goes all the way back to the serpent in the Garden of Eden telling Adam and Eve, yea, ye shall be as gods, and your eyes shall be opened. Okay, when you peel away all the onion layers, okay, and we can spend hours talking about the mythology, but I really want to get to the point in the last couple minutes here. When you peel away all the onion layers, that's really what it all boils down to. So in other words, they're building their society the way they see fit, okay, the way they do it, okay, they've suckered us all in, okay, they've given us, they've basically set it up to fail. Okay, so what we're going to have is we're going to have an economic breakdown. We're going to have World War III. We're going to have chaos, just absolute bedlam in the world.
Right, right. Okay?
This is what we're up against. So the people in control, they've done this by design. Okay, there's another link on my site called The Occult Conspiracy. Okay, I suggest people read that. I do not have nearly enough time to even begin to explain that right now. But basically, that explains the concept of the three world wars. We've had World War One, Woodrow Wilson, we discussed that briefly. World War Two is nothing but a continuation of World War One. Adolf Hitler, the American eugenics. Okay, that's explained in great detail in my book called The Un-American Genocidal Complex. Okay, and there's links to that. You can get that right on my website, boxofsunglasses.com. But then we have World War Three, which is really, a lot of people are saying it already started. You know, we here in the United States, we don't know it yet. But if you're reading current events, World War III is well on its way to its starting already, combined with a worldwide economic calamity, okay? So we're on the verge of the chaos side of this equation, okay? Again, the chaos is in honor of the god known as Pan or Pandemonium, okay? Now, Pan, if you read your encyclopedias of mythology like I have, if you follow it through, okay, Pan is basically the immaterial equivalent or the material side of the great architect of the universe, or the Egyptian sun god Ra, or Osiris, or Apollo, who just so happens to be represented by a certain all-seeing eye sitting on top of a pyramid with no cap on it, okay? Now, this sun god Ra, okay, is known as the great architect of the universe, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you think of architecture, what is related to architecture but geometry, okay? Now, remember Plato. We talked about Plato at the beginning of the show, okay? And what's the deal with Plato? Now, Plato's Academy, what was Plato's obsession? and it was geometry. Now, Plato said, let no one who is ignorant of geometry enter, okay? Or he talked about the great geometer of the universe. Now, this sounds like doesn't make any sense. You're right. Ultimately, it does not make any sense, okay? But to tie this all together, these people seriously believe that they are going to recreate a society, a perfect society, after the chaos that they themselves will basically implement. And let me just say this, okay? I watched a movie that came out some 7-8 years ago called The Watchmen.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was absolute shock. I don't know if you saw that movie.
No, I have not.
But I watched that. Okay, but if people want to, I sincerely believe after watching that movie, and I've heard this before from other so-called conspiracy cooks, that the elite, they hide their messages and their intentions in a lot of these Hollywood movies, okay? After watching that movie, I said, you know something? There's a lot to that, okay? And I myself, and as you may have haven't figured out by now, I'm a huge fan of John Carpenter's great classic.
Yeah,
Day
definitely, Lord. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if you watch the movie, The Watchmen, it explains this concept that I'm talking about. It explains it to a T. So in other words, these so-called, you know, the people in control. There was even a guy walking around, a blue man, walking around with a circle and a dot in the middle of his forehead, which is really symbolic of the Eye of Horus, okay, that the pharaoh in Egypt used to wear, because, you know, he was considered the son of the sun god Ra or Osiris, okay, known as Horus, okay? The Egyptian pharaoh was considered the human manifestation of the sun god. And you remember what God thought of the nation of Egypt. If you just read through the Old Testament, you know, the book of Exodus and all these other, you know, read Isaiah, Jeremiah, right? Just read what God's thoughts on the nation of Egypt in the Old Testament to see what I'm talking about. But anyway, what they're trying to do is build their society, okay, this great, in quotes, this great society based upon the chaos, on which they're going to bring in the chaos side of the equation that we're all going to experience now. And on the other side of it, after 90% of the world's population is gone, remember, Neil, the shows we talked about, the Georgia Guidestones and the anti-Ten Commandments,
yes,
the anti-Ten Commandment number one was reduce, you know, maintain humanity under 500 million people, which is around a 90% reduction in the human population. Okay, these people are serious, okay? And in the last couple minutes, this is what I can say is in this. Now, remember, I'm going to go right back to the Bible again, because this is the only way to really to lasso this whole thing and to explain it. Now, remember, Matthew chapter 21, what does Jesus tell the Pharisees? Now, the Pharisees represent the fake human, religious, political, economic beliefs. Remember the money changers. We've talked about the money changers, you know. Matthew 21, John chapter 2, I mean, the guys Jesus chased out of the temple with whips, okay, what do they represent but this economic and political elite? But anyway, what does Jesus tell these guys? You know, quoting from the Old Testament, Psalm 118, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, okay? So you really need to read that. You really need to understand, okay, what I've done for the past hour is set the proper context for that parable. The stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And if you read Ephesians 2, and, you know, Jesus talks about a foundation and building a spiritual house, this is what it all boils down to, okay? Again, this is why I stay away from these comic book Christians, okay, these Nation of Israel morons, okay? And I'm not anti-Israel. I'm not one of these anti-Zionist people, by the way. But anyway, these people that misinterpret the Bible and focus on the Nation of Israel completely miss everything that we've talked about for the past hour. This is why they're all sitting around waiting for some temple and some comic book antichrist and this temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. that's never going to happen because the temple they talked about in the book of Daniel, and people are referring with Daniel chapter 9, okay, the temple that Jesus is referring to, the stone the builders rejected, he's talking about the Freemasons, okay, the Freemasons are the builders, okay, the concept of Freemasonry goes all the way back to the basins of ancient Egypt that gave us the pyramids. This is what he's talking about, not some stupid comic book, you know, Damien from the Omen Temple and, you know, some guy, you know, running out with pitchforks and stabbing people with, you know, with horns and all this other kind of thing running around. He's talking about this temple that our scientific, political, and economic
90 seconds
built and top it off with their God, okay, the God of light or the God of illumination, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, which is the serpent, okay? Remember the stone? You know, remember, look at the back of your Federal Reserve notes. Okay, there's that pyramid. There's no stone at the top. But what's at the top but the all-seeing eye or Osiris or Ra, which is none other than Lucifer.
60 seconds.
Eden, okay? So when Jesus says the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, that's exactly what he's talking about, okay? And that's exactly what we're going to experience here in the not-too-distant future. Okay, I know I've said a lot. People are probably wondering, maybe your head is spinning, maybe you can't grasp it all. Again, I only have an hour to explain.
Yeah, we got to, because we start a little late, we still got about, let's say, 8 minutes, so keep it going. So
Okay. But anyway. But just, you know, whatever time I have left, it's not nearly enough to go into depth, okay? You really, you know, DrSunglasses.com, I have 3 books.
10 seconds.
I have another book pending, okay? It's going to be a fictional account. Maybe we can get into that in the next few weeks. That's really going to, the goal is to really just simplify this stuff and put it into a concept that will have a quick, very quick fictional account that'll help make a lot of sense out of a lot of this stuff. But anyway, but on my website, there's literally dozens of links. There's literally hundreds of pages of information with links, bibliography, okay? It's all there. It's all, everything I say is corroborated. In other words, okay, I know this is a lot to digest, but this is really what's going on here. But again, the important concept to get out of all this is God's simple salvation plan. If you go back to the Old Testament, now things start to make sense. For instance, if you read, you know, my favorite book as of late is the book of Zephaniah, okay, one of the so-called minor prophets, okay? And if you read through the book of Zephaniah, okay, to me, it's almost like a Cliff Notes version of the Old Testament. And you'll see the kind of language, and you read that, and people say, well, God, you know, why are you so harsh? You know, well, you know, what's with all this fire and brimstone and, you know, killing the firstborn in Egypt and all this kind of thing? Let me just speak to that for a second. You know, remember the plagues, the 10th plague, you know, God killed the firstborn in Egypt, and people say, well, that's cruel. I mean, you know, we don't like that God. But what does that really represent? What it represents is the Pharaoh of Egypt, who we just talked about. Okay, that's really the message. That's the uptake from that last plague, okay? And you can see, again, we don't have time to develop that right now, but hopefully you can start to grasp the evil, okay, that's at play here, okay? And you can start to understand how a God of pure compassion, of infinite compassion and goodness, on the one hand, can seem so cruel on the other hand. This is what people say, oh, you know, we don't like them. Well, I got news for you. When you understand things and you put things in perspective and you see what's really going on, it all falls into place perfectly. You know, which, you know, perfect God, you know, plan falls into place perfectly, by the way. So that's really what's at play here. And remember, and another way to tie this all together, remember Revelation 13, okay? You know, verse 18, you know, not God says to count or calculate the number of the beast, okay, and it's 600, 3 score, and 6, so it's 6 plus 6 plus 6, and we've talked about this, okay, it adds up to 18, okay, and another way to see this, or to see this is the 18th degree of the Scottish Rite, the American version of Freemasonry, is known as the Rosicrucian or the Rose Cross degree of Freemasonry. Remember what we talked about, okay, the rose represents the male sun god Osiris or Apollo or whatever, okay, his phallus, okay, his male member is represented by an obelisk, an Egyptian obelisk or a great pyramid, okay, and the cross side of the equation or the female or the whore goddess, okay, if you read Jeremiah 2 or Ezekiel 23, for instance, you know, you can read about the whore and how, you know, ancient Israel, you know, whored herself, okay, it refers to, it harkens back to this concept of the female side of the equation, okay, or the right, cross, right, or the four kingdoms of nature. Okay, you combine these two, and what do you get? You get the son of God, okay, or the Egyptian pharaoh, or the sun god, Horus, okay? That's really what's at play here, okay? So really the thing to keep in mind is ancient Egypt, okay, the mythology so-called of ancient Egypt is really the adversary,
right?
Okay, and in this case, if the Bible is a short story, okay, you know, remember, you know, in your short stories, you had your hero and you had your adversary, okay, that's the adversary in our case is ancient Egypt.
Right.
And the concept of Pharaoh, again, this is what they're rebuilding. This is the society they want to rebuild. Look on the back of your Federal Reserve notes. It's staring at you in the face, and hopefully I've explained it, or at least introduced it enough to where you want to go and do your own research, and turn off the Fox News and the other nonsense and the stupidity, and read what's really going on behind the scenes.
Well, that's so true. That's definitely true, Rob. And best place we can find information you is boxofsunglasses.com to purchase the book, or at Rob Roselli to go ahead and, you know, tweet you out questions, retweet some of your tweets. You do take the news on a regular basis or crazy things that are happening, and let us know the perspective of why it's happening. And you're able to go out there and tell, and again, at Rob Roselli for more information. So Rob, I appreciate you calling, man. And, best of luck with all your ventures.
Here at Montclair State University, our networks open doors, and you can see how at the Graduate School Open House on Sunday, February 28th from noon to 3 p.m. Choose from over 100 highly regarded programs and meet one-on-one with our award-winning faculty. RSVP at montclair.edu/graduate. That's montclair.edu/graduate. Montclair State University. It's all here.